All right, welcome back to Wherever You Are. I'm Ryan McNeil in Toronto, and you're listening to an impromptu episode 43 of the Matinee Cast. It's from thematinee.ca, your home for cinematic passion and perspective. This will be a shorter show, mostly because it's one of these on-the-fly, knee-jerk reactions, unplanned episodes, which you may last have heard when we talked about Step Up 3D. And if you haven't listened to that show, by all means, go back into the archives, because that one is gold.
Apparently, I made robot sound effects.
Yeah, I remember that. Scott and Whitney wanted to turn it into a ringtone.
Oh, please. I hope they don't.
I know. To those of you who do not recognize the lovely voice next to me, that is Lindsay Rigoni, my darling wife. And we have just come in from seeing the 2011 remake of Footloose. This was directed by Craig Brewer. He's the guy who did Black Snake Moan and... he did Hustle and Flow a few years ago. It is the remake of the 1984 film about the backwoods southern town where dancing has been outlawed, and an outside rebellious young teen comes and tries to upset the apple cart. I get the impression you did not like this movie.
Okay, I don't even know what's happening here. This has never happened before. I did not like this movie. And what did you think?
I had fun.
We are talking about a dance movie here.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is for me not to like a dance movie?
Okay, so...
why do you like it? And I don't understand.
Well, no, actually, I'm more curious why you don't like it. Give me the broad view of why you don't. Beyond just the broad brush of... remakes are bad. Okay, we're gonna...
I'm not talking about that at all.
But that is a non-starter. So yes, I want to know, why didn't you like this film?
Okay, I have to get into specifics, so I'm going to say spoiler warning, but I'm assuming that almost everybody knows what happens anyway, so I don't really care.
Okay, sure.
I don't care if I spoil it. It's like Step Up 3D. I disliked it so much that I didn't care if I spoiled it because I'm telling people not to see it.
You disliked this that much?
No, I didn't dislike it because this... let me just say what I did like about it.
Please.
One thing. What is that guy's name?
The dancer? The lead guy?
Miles Teller.
Oh, as Willard.
Who played Willard. He plays the character that Chris Penn plays in the original movie.
Yes.
Who I liked Chris Penn in the original movie, but yes. I think this guy out Chris Penned him.
Wow.
This guy was so lovable and so charming and had such screen presence that every time that boy was on camera, I was smiling. I actually loved him. And the best part, actually the only really outstanding part in this whole movie was the "Let's Hear It for the Boy" scene, where he's learning to dance for the first time. In the original film, it's Kevin Bacon teaching Chris Penn how to dance. And it's probably my favorite scene in the original movie. This movie may have actually done that scene better.
Okay.
Maybe, one, because they changed it up a little bit, but this kid is so charming and lovable. Every time he's on screen. Now, he's not on screen the whole movie. So he could not save this film.
Okay.
Opening scene. This is the first 5 minutes of the movie. I was smiling. The Footloose music comes up. I'm seeing people's feet. I'm like, okay, this is off to a good start. Then what happened was in the first 5 minutes, they treated me like I was stupid. This is what the filmmakers did. In the original film, it opens with Kevin Bacon coming to town. He's making friends, talking to people. He slowly discovers that, you know, this town's kind of effed up and there's no music and dancing allowed. We learn this with him. We discover it. We're like, what's up with that? This is weird. He eventually learns that a bunch of kids went to a dance, got drunk, and they were killed. And now the town overreacted and there's no dancing.
Right.
This film doesn't trust us to pick that up later on. They need to open the film not only seeing these kids at the dance, getting drunk and wasted and making it actually seem like rock and roll music will kill you. We have to see them die in a fiery explosion. And then we need to actually see the court proceedings where music and dancing is outlawed. We actually needed to see that whole process and see them argue it down.
See, but you're making it sound like that's a 25-minute scene.
You know what?
That's done in 5 minutes tops.
But that was so... It was so condescending. It put me off right away. Some of the reasons why I didn't like this movie, I'm not even going to get into the more so the performances. I didn't even care that the guy who played Ren, that he was kind of Boston and kind of not Boston. He sometimes had an accent.
He was pretty Boston.
Sometimes. No, you can't say he was always. He always had that accent. You can't. But no, it didn't even bug me. I don't even want to really get into that.
That's fine.
I
mean, he's actually from Boston, believe it or not.
Really? Was that a real accent?
That's a real accent.
Why
was
it?
That's what it sounds like.
Oh,
most people from Boston.
Poor people from Boston.
Most people from Boston don't talk like the New Kids on the Block, honey.
Excuse me, yes they do.
No, they don't.
In my mind, they do.
Not really.
Anyway,
please continue.
other performances that weren't as good as the original. I don't even like Kevin Bacon, and you know this. That's why I'm surprised I didn't love this kid, because he really didn't have a lot. So I thought, oh, great, we're going to get a Footloose without Kevin Bacon. I'm actually really appreciating Kevin Bacon at the moment. Okay. Diane Wiest, you know, is one of my favorite people on the planet. So I already knew it was going to be hard for anybody to take on that role, even though it's a small role and she was just playing the preacher's wife. Andy McDowell had no chemistry with Dennis Quaid as the preacher's wife. None. I don't even think there was a moment where we saw them even looking like a husband and wife. She just kind of sits there silently, and at the end she makes her big proclamation.
Well, they've got a moment. They've got a few moments
but
together.
But Diane Wiest and John Lithgow had such good chemistry, and you could kind of saw... No, you're scrunching up your nose, which you should know does not translate in a podcast. I just want you to know that.
There's no audio for nose scrunch?
No, you gotta speak up.
Okay.
Another flaw with the performance. Nothing against Dennis Quaid. But in the original, even though it's a ridiculous premise, they outlaw dancing because this one preacher overreacts. And you can kind of see how it happened, because John Lithgow, when they show him doing his sermons, does it in a way that you can see how he would have won the town over. You can see how he would have taken everybody, convinced them. He truly believed it. Do you know what I mean? Him as the pastor.
I do. There's actually a really good scene. Now, I should pause here and lay out that... We both rewatched the original one just 3 or 4 days ago, and I'm actually going to call that one kind of being a really, really hard rewatch for me, because I had forgotten a lot of that movie, so it was almost like watching it all over again for the first time.
And what did you think of the original?
I liked it. It's not perfect, but it's good.
And I think
in many ways it still holds up. There are flaws, but I'll get back to that. The thing where I was going with that is, in the original, when you're talking about Lithgow, there's a great scene where he is selling his position to the town. This is when Wren comes into town, and he's trying to stir things up, and John Lithgow has to circle the wagons. So it cuts between him talking to teenagers, and then him talking to his congregation, and then him talking to like a ladies' lunch. And it actually, his sermon is cut seamlessly between these three settings, and it's a wonderful scene. So no, you're right. He's Dennis Quaid, who I actually liked, but I'll get back to him.
He doesn't
get the same kind of forum as John Lithgow gets, and he doesn't sell it the same way.
He doesn't. Even when the scene where you see him kind of rehearsing his sermon.
I like that moment.
Really? I thought, we see that a little bit in the original, and John Lithgow, even when he's rehearsing it, it's kind of empowering. Dennis Quaid is just kind of waltzing through. I mean, I don't know if he's just thinking, hey, it's Footloose. Okay. Like,
so
I'm getting a paycheck.
You are out off the top there? That's it?
I was out for a long time. Off the top,
no kidding.
I was already like, oh my God, I can't believe I just watched this explosion and watched five teenagers blow up at the beginning of Footloose.
Yeah.
And then he gets to town. There was a few cute moments, like the little homages to the original. The car was a nice touch.
Yes.
He wears the exact same outfit at the end that I liked that. The jacket even looked a little beat up. Like, I could believe that they went into a wardrobe department
and found
the exact jacket that Kevin Bacon wore. Okay, this is where I'm really pissed off.
Go for it.
Except for the two scenes. The one scene for Let's Hear It for the Boys.
Yes.
And the closing Footloose number where they ripped off, I'd say 80%, not ripped off, but they copied about 80% of the choreography directly from the original.
Correct.
Those were great, great, great scenes.
Yeah.
Because they were very true to the original.
Right.
Every other bit of music and dancing in this movie was so cringeworthy and embarrassing to watch. The main character, Ariel, I don't think her name was Ariel in the original, was it?
Ariel, yeah.
Ariel. In the original, when she dances, she's doing it because there's joy in it. And it's a bit of rebellion, but it's also just the act of dancing. She just wants to go out and dance. No, stop. Don't make faces. It doesn't show up on a podcast.
I know it doesn't. I'm trying not to interrupt you. You're interrupting yourself.
Anyways, this one, when Ariel goes to dance, not only is she not even dancing, she's
dancing,
writhing around like a stripper.
No, she's not.
It was hideous to watch because, one, I know that actress is a good dancer. Actually, she's not even an actress. She's a dancer. They gave her nothing to do. She was only doing it because she was trying to turn on guys in the movie. She wasn't doing it because she wanted to dance. She only got up to try to get guys' attention.
Correct. But here's the thing, and this might be why I like it and you don't. Is
because she was half naked.
No. That doesn't bother. That's neither here nor there. I don't know how closely you were watching it on the weekend when we rewatched. So it was like really, really, really fresh in my head. You were baking, you were cleaning up. We were.
Oh, I know the movie well. Don't you worry.
Well, but that's the thing. There is a lot of this movie that is a direct pull. And a lot of her actions, a lot of the way she dances, a lot of her lines, was a direct pull from the original.
And in the original.
That original girl, the girl who, I'm actually going to look this up.
From Fame. She's from the TV series Fame.
Fantastic. Lori Singer in the original, when you watch her now, it's not that good.
No, she's not that good. To be honest.
She can't really dance.
But it's not really about the dancing.
She can't really act.
No, she can't.
She just seems to be very, very erratic for most of it and just... You know, it seemed like she had a pebble in her shoe.
I've always hated Lori Singer on Footloose. Always.
Okay.
I now appreciate her.
Okay, but that's the thing. If you hate Julianne Hough and you hate Lori Singer, then that character is a wash.
No. Here's the thing. I think now that I've seen Julianne Hough do it, I really appreciate Lori Singer's performance.
No,
yes.
Please.
First of all, it's not about the dancing. She doesn't have to be a great dancer. It's just about that she wants to dance.
Look at the scene where they go to the honky tonk.
Yeah, I didn't even dig her in that.
Oh, come on.
I didn't dig her
that was
the
a
end.
Great. That was some great choreography.
But let me just go back to
That's country dancing, which is not always that great of dancing, and they made it seem really fun. I was like, I kind of want to do this.
I thought they didn't make it seem very
they,
fun.
They, you know, they carry over. There's a lot of characterisms that
they
carry over.
Let's back up to the scene where her father catches her dancing. In the original, they're outside of the little malt shop. No, let me finish. They're outside the little malt shop. She brings out a little stereo. They all start kind of dancing, having fun in the parking lot. Her father catches her and he reprimands her. And all she was doing was dancing. She was just outside having fun dancing.
Yes.
In this movie, the same thing happens. He comes out and he catches her. And do you know what? If that was my daughter doing what she was doing in this movie, I would have locked her up in the basement for a year.
Correct.
She wasn't just dancing.
Got it.
She was grinding up half naked on a guy in the middle of a parking lot.
Gotcha. However, here's the thing. That is really just a difference of changing time. So like we are talking about, 25 years? I'm sorry. Teenagers now, they act and they dance and they speak differently than they did in 1984.
But there's still a difference in tone of a scene when when a father reprimands a daughter just for dancing is one thing. To a father reprimanding a daughter who is dancing half naked, grinding up a guy's crotch in a parking lot.
I got it, but
he was justified in this movie.
They were justified both times.
No, he wasn't justified in the first one.
Well, no, because he was a different type of preacher. Actually, it's funny because there's two things going on at the same time in that one scene. First of all, what the kids are doing in the new scene versus the old scene is far better because there's a lot more energy in the new scene. There's a lot more dancing going on in the new scene,
which was fine.
The music is way better. You play that song from the original scene now. And I dare you to even start tapping your toes. It is a dreadful, dreadful 80s song. This one's not going to age all that well either.
No, this one's
really
this,
like, hip-hoppy.
I didn't like it.
It uses hip-hoppy crunk number. Okay, that is better. However, where you are right, because you are right.
Yes, of course.
Not about everything, but you're right about one thing. Is in the original, John Lithgow actually just plays it disappointed.
Yeah.
He says, your mother was afraid that you had forgotten your money. And I think he even hands her, like, some money.
And it's actually...
And he leaves.
Yes.
That's it. He's, like, he's very, very clearly disappointed in his daughter. He's like, here you go. Like, I'm out. You know, like, he's got
and
this look on... He's got this really, really almost sad look on his face.
Yes, and it's wonderfully acted.
Quaid is pissed. He's not, like, yelling pissed, but he's visibly pissed.
Yeah. You know what? She should have been yelled at.
But in both cases, they would have been equally upset. The reason why I like this film is... It's very, very loving to the first movie. It clearly really, really digs a lot of what that first film did, and it doesn't want to go too far. It is very note for note the same. What I liked actually was I liked Dennis Quaid's speech afterwards, like
I hated it.
Oh no, he's really sad in that scene.
His son just died.
I know, but
he's sad.
And that's the thing is that he speaks of it when he talks about, like, you know, parents burying their children. In the first one, you're like, Lithgow, just get over it. You know, come on, buddy. It was a long time ago. It's sad. It's a bummer, but just come on, move on. This one, you really get how hurt he was by that and how he just wants the town to completely condone this, you know, devil behavior. But this is a film, it really, really loves the first one. I cannot thank Craig Brewer enough for leaving the tractor race out of this film and, replacing it with a school bus.
They psych you out. They psych you out.
I know. He got into the tractor, and I actually think I said, "Ah, hell!" Because
you hate that tractor.
That tractor scene. It's so bloody dumb. So in this one, I liked that they come on. He's driving a burning school bus.
That was better.
Fan friggin' tastic. I thought a lot of the energy in the dancing was better.
The choreography was boring in this
one. No, it's pretty good.
Until they do the final scene where they do the choreography from the original.
No. Even his angry dance, I liked his angry dance.
I hated his angry dance. It was so poorly edited. I didn't even feel
as opposed to the first one where you can tell where they're cutting away from Kevin Bacon.
Okay, it's not one of my favorite angry dances.
Because anytime he goes to do a gymnast move, they're miles away. It's like, come on, man. That guy doesn't even have the same hair as Kevin Bacon.
No, and it's...
So, I enjoyed the angry dance. And okay, here's the thing. This guy actually, I think...
He's a dancer.
I was going to say, this might be blasphemy. This guy's a better dancer than Bacon.
Oh, Kevin Bacon's not a dancer. I know, I'm not even but pretending
that's the
like
thing,
he is.
Is that while he doesn't really have the presence of Kevin Bacon. I will give you that. That was my big knock on the film.
The line I was waiting for, and he couldn't pull it off.
Which one?
The line. There's one line in this film.
Let's Dance?
Yes. The Let's Dance scream at the end.
Yeah, he didn't quite nail that.
Although they did explain that in this one.
Yeah, all the confetti falling.
I should explain. We watched it the other day, and the closing Footloose number, I made a comment to Ryan, because I think we were like halfway through the song, and I was like, why is the confetti still falling? Like, there is... tons and tons. I've never seen so much confetti.
It should be like in piles on the floor.
Yeah, it never stops coming. And it's not just a little bit of confetti. Like, it is a sea of confetti.
It's glitter in the first one.
Yeah. This one, he picks up a bucket. And at first, I didn't know what he picked up. He just picked up this bucket of colorful stuff, dumps it into some kind of machine, and it shoots the confetti in the air. And I was like, oh, they felt they had to explain the confetti. I kind of appreciated that because it's kind of distracting in the first one.
I get the hunch that they watched the first one. They're like, why is this? We have to explain this.
It had to have been at least 20 crew members up in the rafters in the first one dropping confetti.
So, yeah. Kenny, his name is Kenny Wormald. He's not quite as boyish.
Who's Ren?
As Ren, yes. Kenny Wormald, he's not quite as boyish as Kenny, as Kevin Bacon was in the first one. He's a better dancer. Even moments like when he's up in front of the town council and he's got the Bible and he's like, oh, and King David, what did King David do? Like, Kevin Bacon sells that moment just a little bit better.
Yeah.
So it's a trade-off. It took moments that I didn't like in the first one, even things when she's standing in front of the train and she's screaming. The first one, that train is moving so damn slow in the first film.
Well, because it was done in the 80s and they didn't have the technology.
I don't care. It is crawling.
But her performance in this one, even though the train's coming quickly and it's a little more intense, her performance is so bad.
No.
Are you joking?
No.
I don't think we saw the same movie.
No.
I didn't buy a word
we already talked about that. Julianne Hough and Laurie Singer, neither one of them are better than the other.
She's beautiful. Actually, I think she's pretty old, too, to be playing this role. She's a dancer on Dancing with the Stars. She's not a high school student.
She's 23.
Yeah, and she's playing, 16?
No, I know, but neither was Laurie Singer. Laurie Singer was 20-something when she played
that.
Did you see those kids?
But in the 80s, they always did that.
They still do that.
Chris Penn must have been 35.
Exactly. Exactly. No, what this looked like to me is it looked like a film that really, really loves the first film. It doesn't want to screw with it too much. It just wants to kind of, just tweak a few things that don't really hold up from the first one, and just kind of give it an overall polish for a new audience. Because if you go back to the original one where they're playing tapes and they're playing kind of crummy 80s music, the music in this one is actually a little bit better. There's a lot more like rootsy, bluesy stuff.
It's only because they kept the key songs in this.
They kept a lot of the key songs. They didn't keep all of them. But
I'm just really mad at this movie. I've been joking about it all week. I've been saying, oh, this movie's going to suck. Yeah, we're seeing Footloose.
I was expecting it to
suck. I'm going to tell you, even though I was saying that, secretly in my head, I was saying, I'm going to love it. I was pretty sure I was going to love it.
Yeah.
And I'm really mad that I didn't.
No, and it's really, really strange. I think neither one of us liked the Fame remake.
No,
that took all the drama out of it. This might be hearsay. I think it's better directed than the first
one.
I know, I know, but like, don't give me okay.
Even the situation.
Even with that out, okay, explanation or no explanation. Okay, like I can live without that. I can say if you start it from, take that whole part out. everything else, every dance number, every sequence, I thought it was...
But you know what? It was so dumbed down.
It's just the difference between New Millennium direction versus 80s direction, because...
But the 80s direction, at least, they gave the audience intelligence enough to kind of fill in the blank. This one, we had to see her lose her virginity, because when she says later, I'm not even a virgin, this one we
saw that in the original.
We don't. No, she's never like, oh no, I don't want to.
No, she's straddling him at the friggin' riverbed.
Yeah, that doesn't mean she was losing her virginity. She was just having sex with him.
What was she doing? Straddling him at the riverbed?
No, she was having sex with him, but we didn't need a dramatic scene where she was like, no, I can't. Okay, I want to look cool, so I will. No, she was just having sex with him. Yeah. She's probably done it a million times. Because she was kind of a slut. No, she was. She's a slut. This movie, she was such a whore. I disliked her so much.
She's acting out. She's angry because of her brother's death that we saw.
Yes, we did see it. Yes, if anything happens to my brother, I'm going to be a total whore.
Awesome.
It makes no sense. It doesn't make sense.
Oh, I thought you were talking like you.
No, I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that.
No, she was so whorey in this.
No, she
and didn't. So, yes, she, what, do you not know what a whore looks like? I thought it was poorly written.
It's the same script.
I know, but.
It's, okay, I think you're getting too hung up on that one scene.
I am too hung up on that one scene, because I was in a bad mood.
So then
right
my next question is, if you take that scene out...
Here's the thing. At one point, I was ready to let it go. When they did the Let's Hear It for the Boy scene, when he's learning how to dance...
Okay.
I was...
Then
I
what lost you after that?
What happens after that? So they do that scene. I actually thought, oh, look at this. Okay, I'm going to love this. I'm going to forgive the first half, because it was so well done. And then it just took a downturn again, because then that horrible scene where she's fighting with her dad in the church, which neither actor pulled off in this one.
From the original movie. Again.
I know, but in the original movie, they pulled it off.
Not really.
Yeah, they did.
No. I remember. I was watching that one, and I was like, oh boy. Because she says it in very... She's a little bit quieter, but she says it in very the same kind of abrupt, out-of-nowhere manner.
It was him, too, in this one. And, the horrible scene with... Dennis Quaid and Andie MacDowell in the original one, when Diane Wiest decides to kind of say something, to kind of speak up and defend the kids.
Yeah.
It's a very sweet moment. Remember they're lying in bed and she's kind of giggling with them and they're talking about when they were young and they used to dance. This one, Andie MacDowell's like a robot and
they're outside. They're on a bench.
First of all, I don't know why Andie MacDowell took this role. It was so nothing.
She's got a few moments. Like,
but she didn't. She didn't do anything with those moments.
I think you think Diane Wiest had more to do in the first one than
very rarely in the first one. Diane Wiest has a very small part.
Correct.
But when she's on, she's so memorable.
Yeah.
And she sold it.
I think you were icing your cake or something.
No.
we'll watch that again when we're done.
Do you want to?
No.
Because I will. Don't make
one last
say
one last thing,
because
we are kind of getting close to the end here. The other thing I did like about this one versus the original is the one big change that happens here is Ren's family. In the original one, him and his mom come to live with his aunt and his uncle. In this one, his parents are both dead. His mom has just died of leukemia, and he goes to live with his aunt and uncle.
The uncle in this is great.
Oh, he's fantastic.
What do I know him from? He's from something.
I know him as Holly Hunter's second husband in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He's the one who gets in the fight with George Clooney in the Woolworths.
You
know,
I'm just
hey, you can't say that to my fiance. That's him.
Ray McKinnon.
You've seen it. He was in Apollo 13. He was one of the techs. He was in The Blind Side. He was the coach of the football team in The Blind Side.
The little changes like that didn't bug
me. You know,
me.
I like he's still very much from the small town. He doesn't want Ren to completely go in there and upset the whole damn apple cart. But at the same time, he is far more family to Ren than the uncle in the first one who has a stick up his ass and wants to like be a father figure or something to Ren. And it just does not work at all. That's the trade-off, is that first scene that you don't like, they pulled out a lot of little things in the new one that didn't really work. Like, you don't get the brick through the window, that kind of thing. There's a few conversations with the pastor that you don't get that as well. So, I guess that's my thing, is where the first one, they both went wrong in certain places, but when you add them up together, it's a wash. So my take is, I don't think that one is better than the other. I think that they will play very differently depending on which one you see first and how old you are. But I like them equally.
I do not like the Maple Leaf.
Well, I can understand
that. And I should clarify, because I do have a lot of nostalgia for
Footloose. I don't think you're wrong, by the way.
No, I have a lot of nostalgia for Footloose, and I do love the original. But I don't want to make it seem like it's one of my favorite movies that can't be touched and can't be remade, because it's not.
Right.
Dirty Dancing,
that's next.
This is going to be a different conversation with Dirty Dancing. Okay. I'm going to pick on everything, this is not that. This is me, even if I had never seen the original, this one just fell flat in a lot of places. I didn't like them hooching up all of her dance numbers.
But that's how kids dance now. We're not kids anymore, nor do we dance, really. But that's
there's a difference between dancing sexy and what she was doing.
I don't think there is. Times change.
I'm not a prude. I'm not a dance prude.
That's my whole point.
It still doesn't make what she was doing. Okay.
So what I would urge people to do, actually, I'm really, really curious. Watch the original, because I'm curious to know what people think of how it holds up. I actually think it holds up pretty well. There's some 80s-ness to it, but I think overall it's actually pretty cool.
And there's tractors.
And oh God, there's tractors. Check out the new one, especially, like, you know, even, I don't really advocate this, theater jump into it. If you pay for one thing and you want to go see something else, check out Footloose. If you can get, like, free tickets or something like that, check it out. It's not very long. It's happy. It's bouncy. There's not a whole lot else out there right now anyhow. And I'd be curious to know what people think of the original, what people think of the new one, how they compare. But certainly where the original one is concerned, give it another look, because you might not remember it the same way you think you remember it. I will give you the last word on all things Footloose 2011.
When you make the main female character so mentally unstable, and you have this loving community that loves their teenagers so much that they ban dancing entirely from the town, and nobody suggests getting this poor girl a therapist, you got some bad writing.
It's a town of 19,000 people. I don't know that they have a therapist. It's possible that either one of us is correct, and
I leave
that to you. If people want to back you up or tell you you're wrong, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Lindsay Ragone.
Spell it.
LINDSAYRAGONE.
And of course, you can reach me at the matinee, Ryan at thematinee.ca. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/matinee_CA. And of course, Facebook, facebook.com/darkmatinee. And thanks everybody for joining us for this little impromptu discussion on Footloose here in Bizarro World, where I suddenly like shiny, bouncy, dancey movies, and Lindsay does not.
It wasn't shiny and happy and dancey enough
shiny.
For me.
It was very shiny and happy. Come on back next week. We'll be talking about Ides of March. And until then, for Lindsay, I'm Ryan. We'll see you at the matinee.